From KCRW, this is Greater LA. I'm Steve Chiatakis with a show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. And the people here have a heavy heart today. Wildlife officials had to euthanize P-22, the mountain lion who lived alone in the hills around Griffith Park over the weekend. Griffith Park is where people gathered on Saturday to mourn. Here's Beth Pratt, California Director for the National Wildlife Federation.
I got to see him yesterday, and that was really hard. You know, I sat with him and told him he was a good boy and that we were really sorry and that, you know, we couldn't do enough for him. And he hissed at me, which was great. I'm like, you still got it. You still got it, buddy.
For those who live in the area where P-22 roamed, he was more than just a local news story. Lana Duffy, a high school junior from Beechwood Canyon, saw P-22 frequently in her backyard on security cameras.
When I first saw him for the very first time, it was, I think, really the most important experience I've ever had with a wild animal. And it was so crazy to have, like, this ginormous cat that is related and looks like things you would see on the, like, National Wildlife Channel on the savannah, lions, tigers, all those things in, like, a huge urban neighborhood like this. He has just been a huge part of my life. He took me in a completely different direction, and I am so, so lucky.
And P-22 was lucky, too. Wildlife folks say he probably lived to be 12 years old, which is older than a typical wildcat lifespan. But in the end, he also had some bad luck. He'd apparently suffered severe injuries from being hit by a car a little more than a week ago. He had other health issues, too, from old age, and had recently attacked three dogs, not to mention several near-miss run-ins with humans in Los Feliz and Silver Lake. Miguel Ordonana is senior manager of community science at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. He was the first person to identify P-22 a decade ago, and Miguel is with us right now. Hi there, Miguel.
Hi there. Thanks for speaking with me today.
The first to spot him, you've had a long history with P-22. How are you doing?
It's hard. I mean, it's been a little bit since he passed, but even today is still a difficult day. Again, it's still, in a way, kind of inspiring and makes me hopeful that not just me, but a lot of people are really going to be committed to honoring his legacy. So it mixed emotions for sure, definitely still sad.
Honoring his legacy as in with other wildlife all across LA, right?
Yes, definitely. Wildlife of all shapes and sizes, especially those with habitat connectivity needs, that is an issue here in Los Angeles. A lot of fragmented habitat and that are affecting a lot of different species and just urban development and our impact on the ecosystem, whether it's putting out rat poison, whether it's light pollution, noise pollution, or of course our freeways really kind of cutting through habitat and making it really hard for these animals to find territories of their own, disperse to open spaces where they can have a safe existence and find mates. And P-22 story really kind of summarized all these issues within his lifetime. And so that's another reason why we're really fortunate to have had him in our lives for the past 10 years. So he can really detail what's happening to so many other species that are, some of which are on the brink of extinction here in LA. And so hopefully people use it as a call to action. And then this is not just kind of content for a performative social media post. I'm really excited by that potential. And I can say for a fact that I'm personally committed. I've been committed, but his death really gave me a kick in the butt that is really going to make me even more of a, ally or committed member of a big community that's here to support urban wildlife and make sure that, his legacy is honored in the right way.
What is it, Miguel, about a mountain lion? Because you mentioned the social media connection, and people obviously, you know, there is that sort of connection among Angelenos for sure who are enamored with this cat, this wild cat. What is it about this mountain lion that got everyone so involved there? I mean, there are wild animals all over the place, right? There are bears in the San Gabriels and in the San Gabriel Valley, coyotes all over the place. I mean, what was it about this wildcat.
Yeah, it's a combination of factors. So like from the very beginning, his story started off with a really kind of this legendary kind of journey that he made that mother mountain lions attempted and couldn't do. So he already had this kind of hero status from the very beginning, where he was able to cross freeways that seemed uncrossable and then cross through these fancy neighborhoods that everybody knows from all over the world, like Beverly Hills, Bel Air, and then him reaching this very famous park, Griffith Park, after crossing another 10-lane freeway. And then after that, like really beating the odds by coexisting with thousands of people every single day in this really public way that was always in the media, thanks in part to advocates like Beth Pratt and photographs that Steve Winter took for National Geographic of him in front of the Hollywood sign, and countless other people that have been sharing his story in so many relatable ways. But these people that are translating his story into Spanish and indigenous language and making children's books are inspired by it because there is some relatable connection that he provides through his story, through his misadventures, through his mistakes, and also his triumphs. And I think that's all things that really are inspiring for people, as that is used as a gateway to learn about other urban wildlife conservation issues and what needs to change. And as a result, I mean, it even led to him being a catalyst for the biggest wildlife crossing ever built to break ground just before his death, which is really great. And the museum being his final resting spot is just one of those moments that, I mean, allows things to come full circle and his legacy to be honored, hopefully by, who knows, if technology and research kind of creates opportunities for his remains to be used for the future conservation of this population or this species, it'll be there and he'll still be contributing to that. But of course, I mean, we want to do everything in a very culturally sensitive way and make sure that we honor his legacy in that way as well.
Well, speaking of remains, and you know, you said that he's going to be there at the museum. In what way? What are they doing with his remains?
Yeah, so that is still to be determined. I think we need to be in conversation with community members, right? Like, this is not our animal, right? This is a part of this community, including the indigenous community. And we want to make sure that their voices are heard and that we come to some sort of decision that is culturally sensitive, but also hopefully, this is my perspective, that allows us to have some of his remains that we can use potentially to go towards research, including conservation research. And it's hard to have those discussions sometimes because the technology or the research isn't there yet. And that's kind of the beauty of museums that allow us to have this content and this information that'll be here for years and hopefully 100 years from now. And in case there is a moment where the mountain lion population is kind of taking a turn for the worse for whatever reason, or there's some sort of technology that P22's remains would be really helpful for, that will inform something very important that will potentially save this population and other species in other places. A lot of people think, oh, museums and taxidermy. I mean, if taxidermy isn't what the community feels is appropriate and sensitive to him, then we don't have to go that route. I think what the main legacy that the museum can offer for P22 is that we will be committed to making sure that it's safe, it's well protected, and available for important critical research in the future.
Just to clarify, taxidermy, you know, for lay people is stuffing them.
Yeah, so taxidermy, you use like recreate a model of his body, and you put the skin over it and you put it on display, on public display for outreach and education purposes. But I mean, it's understandable that process and that use of a dead individual is controversial.
They could make a copy, right? They could do something a little more respectful as a tribute to him instead of using him and his remains.
Absolutely. There's options, and I mean, who, again, even just like the research, like there might be techniques for taxidermy that might be available in future years that could make it really cool and allow us to kind of have that same educational benefit that also addresses the concerns of community members. So again, still something in discussion. We don't have it in our possession yet, and we haven't engaged in full conversations with community members about this yet. We do know that Indigenous community members have been reaching out to the museum almost immediately to make sure that we are able to facilitate some sort of ceremony and blessing, and we're definitely committed to making sure that we accommodate that for sure. That's very important to us.
Is there another wildcat, Miguel, that will assume the role of, you know, LA's official large cat? I mean, is this a new role? How does it work going forward?
There is another mountain lion that has been living in between the 405 and the 101. This is a male that successfully crossed the 405 a few years ago and just has stayed within that little gap in open space between the 405 and the 101. And he's still roaming those hills and occasionally popping up on security cameras near Runyon Canyon or Franklin Canyon and going through Bel Air backyards and somehow surviving. And so it's very possible that this individual or some other individual crosses over the 101 and gets into Griffith Park. What he's going to mean to LA, that's still to be determined. But I think nothing's going to replace P22's legacy.
What are we calling him? He hasn't gained a P yet.
He's not a P because he hasn't been captured and collared. So that's when they get that name, those official numbers.
Yeah.
And those official numbers reflect the sequence in which they were captured through the study that the National Park Service has been running since 2002. So P22 was the 22nd puma in the study. His dad, P1, was the first puma that was part of the study.
And it's interesting, P22 died in 2022.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that connection. Yeah. That's a good point.
Miguel Orellana, Senior Manager of Community Science at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. Miguel, our condolences, obviously. Condolences to all of LA, because a special cat for sure, one that we'll remember for a long, long time. Thanks for coming on, Miguel.
Thank you.
Straight ahead, from beloved cat to fat cats who use Van Nuys Airport to charter flights or fly their own planes to wherever, causing some, turbulence in the neighborhood. That's yours on the other side of this.